Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, August 18th. Should ICE be able to use two of the county's firing ranges for training? More on that next, but first, the headlines. The MLB and its owners have now unanimously approved of the $3.9 billion sale of your San Diego Padres. The new owners group is led by private equity billionaire Jose E. Feliciano and his wife, Kwanzaa Jones. Feliciano has been designated as the Padres' control person in alignment with MLB requirements. The MLB says day-to-day operations will continue to be led by Padres president and general manager A.J. Preller and CEO Eric Grubner. The news also sees the end of the Seidler family's ownership of the team dating back to 2012. San Diego's historic Wonder Bread building in the East Village might just end up as the city's next premier music venue. Entertainment company Live Nation purchased the building and plans to convert it into a 4,000-capacity music venue. Live Nation says, quote, San Diego currently has no purpose-built venues between its small clubs and its large arenas. Live Nation says this project is meant to fill that need. The company plans to preserve the historic building and restore its brick facade. The new music venue is expected to open in 2028. The National Weather Service says a high-pressure system is slowly building in the east this week, which will bring gradual warming to the county. NWS says that system is also expected to bring a shallow marine layer and dry weather. Coastal temps are expected to land in the mid to upper 70s, inland valleys should be somewhere in the mid 80s, our mountains should be in the upper 70s to mid 80s, and of course our deserts are the warmest, jumping into the 90s and even triple digits in some areas. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors will decide today whether federal immigration authorities can continue using two county firing ranges. Public Matters reporter Kevin Trevelin has more.
ICE and Customs and Border Protection agents have for several years been training at a county-owned gun range in Otay Mesa. ICE agents have also been using a county-leased facility at Miramar Air Base. But Board of Supervisors Chair Tara Lawson Reamer says they're no longer welcome.
Our community is a home, not a target. If the Trump administration wants to spend billions on this flawed deportation agenda, they can use their own federal resources to carry it out.
Lawson Reamer says ICE's tactics and emphasis on mass deportations undermine trust in local government. ICE data shows agents removed more than 16,000 people in San Diego County between January 2025 and April 1st of this year. The vast majority of immigrants arrested locally last year did not have criminal records. That's according to a separate KPBS analysis. Both ICE and Customs and Border Protection fall under the Department of Homeland Security. DHS did not respond to a request for comment on the gun range proposal. Kevin Trevelin, KPBS News.
A man has been charged with intentionally setting the Sorrento fire. The fire started Sunday in the Los Penasquitos Canyon Preserve, forcing evacuations and road closures. It burned more than 130 acres. North County reporter Alexander Wen has more on the arrest.
Police say people saw 30-year-old Brandon James Glasgow walking out of the creek near where the fire started. They arrested him Sunday night on one count of arson. Judy Turnbull and her friend Christina Quant were surprised to hear that. They were dropping off supplies to thank firefighters who were still there mopping up hot spots.
It's very unfortunate and disappointing that somebody would
do something like that.
Yeah.
It's sad to think that people are just heartless to do that.
Fire officials say crews will remain on scene for the next 3 days to mop up any hot spots. Glasgow is due in court on Wednesday. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
New polling shows more Californians are likely to support the billionaire's wealth tax and oppose a measure requiring voter ID. Cap Radio's Laura Fitzgerald has more.
The poll by the UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies indicates 48% of respondents support the wealth tax, while 41% oppose. The measure, known as Proposition 40, would impose a one-time 5% tax on billionaires' assets as of January 1st this year. The poll shows voters were less aware of two countermeasures aimed at canceling the tax. A slight majority, 51%, said they'd vote no on a proposal to require proof of citizenship to vote, Proposition 39. 42% said they'd support it. The measure would require voters to show a government-issued ID card when voting in person or posting the last four digits of their Social Security number on their ballot. The respondents who said they'd support the wealth tax and oppose the voter ID measure were overwhelmingly Democrats. In Sacramento, I'm Laura Fitzgerald.
In other election news, the race for California's next governor came to Chula Vista over the weekend. Republican candidate Steve Hilton hosted a town hall at Novo Brewing and shared his vision in front of a packed room on Saturday afternoon.
Here's my plan. What does this sound like to you? A working class tax cut in California. Your first 150 grand, tax-free.
Lieutenant Governor candidate Gloria Romero also spoke at the event. Their populist message aims to win over working-class voters in the state, a key demographic in President Donald Trump's 2024 victory. Automated license plate readers, or ALPRs, are facing scrutiny in San Diego. Now, local community groups are joining in a national week of action against the technology. Seth Hall is an advocate with the Trust SD Coalition. He talked to reporter Andrew Bowen about the controversial technology and what his group has been doing.
So what are the Trust Coalition's main concerns with this technology and how it's being used in San Diego?
Yeah, we've been working with the city for years now to try to accommodate this request that this technology be used in the city in a safe way, right? So we've proposed many policies. We've worked with the city's Privacy Advisory Board, who is full of experts, on what kind of policies would need to be in place to make this kind of system work while still being safe for San Diegans, right? For minimizing abuse, for example, or not allowing the data to escape our control and go out and be usable by somebody else. For many years, we've worked with the city on that. Unfortunately, you know, we just haven't had the kind of success that we imagined that we would have when we set up the oversight program. So a lot of the recommendations from the experts are being ignored by the city. Certainly the community concerns are not reaching our leaders in a way that's convincing to them.
Let's talk about Flock. Flock is a company that makes a lot of this technology used in San Diego and across the country for ALPRs. It's been the subject of particular scrutiny around the nation. What have been some of the main controversies surrounding Flock? And let's talk specifically in San Diego.
In San Diego, obviously, the community has made a lot of requests over how this technology be deployed and be used. And frustration is also growing here because we feel like our leaders are also not listening to what people are asking for in this city. In the meantime, we've had examples of, like we just had a recent story of a gentleman who spent 30 days in jail on the back of a Flock read and police guessing that the car that he was driving was a car that they suspected, right? And that man's life is probably forever altered behind that error, right? Now he's suing the city, and that's got financial ramifications.
And he was innocent. Let's make it clear. He was not it was a misread.
I believe that he has been cleared of that of mm-hmm. wrongdoing, right? But the lawsuit against the city is ongoing, and mm-hmm. so nobody's giving any comment, right, about what's going to happen in the city now that we've had that incident. You know, how are we going to have accountability for that? How are you and I not going to end up in that exact same situation? No comment on that from anybody because that situation hasn't been resolved yet.
So police have supported this technology. They generally oppose legislation that seeks to regulate it or limit its use. And they say that ALPRs have been used to find car thieves, kidnappers, murderers, hit-and-run drivers. You know, and they say that these crimes would not be solved without this technology. How do you respond to those claims from law enforcement?
Sure. I think law enforcement gets to say, you know, they have all the information on their side as far as how they use this technology. Unfortunately, the proof behind that is not always ready, right? It's not always provided. We've offered many opportunities to the city to provide data that backfills some of those claims. I think San Diegans would be really interested to know if those claims really have substance to them or whether they are just perhaps marketing items that have been offered by the company that wants to keep the technology in San Diego. Without the right transparency, we're not really sure that those claims actually can be verified, right? Certainly, we cannot know if those crimes would have been able to be solved, right? And irrespective of those things, I think that the underlying problem there is one of trust, right? So if people are going to go to jail for weeks at a time, right, behind false reads, that shakes the trust in the community. And that's really a reason for the city to come out with more information, to be more transparent. And, you know, honestly, with trust, our approach here is if this technology cannot be used transparently and responsibly, then it really ought not be used at all, right? Because the people of San Diego deserve that level of safety. And if we can't give it to them, we really just need to hit the brakes on that.
Seth, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Andrew Bowen speaking with Seth Hall of the Trust SD Coalition. The Tijuana Toros are in the playoffs again. The team has made it to this stage 11 times in 12 years and has won two national championships. But web producer Riley Arthur says they are not the only reason to come to a game.
Forget everything you know about pro baseball. In the Mexican League, the fan experience is just as vital as the game itself. Think banana ball, but even more electric. Roberto Kelly is a three-time Major World Series champion. This year, he was named the team manager for the Tijuana Toros.
We come for the game. Obviously, you see a good game, but some people are come for the excitement up the stuff too, and they really put on a good show.
The team has several mascots that roam the stadium. Three dance troupes perform in between innings. The action never stops, and a band plays after every game. The Toros signing of former Dodgers World Series champion Justin Turner this season has triggered a 33% surge in U.S. fans crossing the border for games. Tickets to the game start around $2. Tacos start at less than $3. 32-ounce cups of beer go for $9, making entry and a meal less than $15. You can watch the Toros in the playoffs through September 16th. Riley Arthur, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Today's podcast was edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, thanks for listening and have a great day.